27, very short psalm. And as I said, I will be short as well. I believe that the boys and girls made a wonderful presentation of the truths that are being taught in our youth program. And I just want to finish with a little bit of a challenge. Psalm 127, follow as I read. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3 is the cornerstone of the message. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy or blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be shamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Father, bless the word. Thank you for those that have been here today for our one presentation. Now use your word in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, my son Anthony told me his best friend was asked what he would do if he had $1 million. Well, his friend told him he would spend it all on bulldozers. Kind of a strange thing to spend it on, you would think. So we asked him, what would he do with the bulldozers? And he said, I would destroy all the golf courses in the country so my mother would come home and be with me. You see, his friend did not have a good relationship with his parents. It was Dr. Walt Loudermore who wrote a book entitled The Highly Healthy Child. And in that book, he talks about the relationship of parents and children. I just want to quote a short excerpt. Although relational stress and discord are inevitable as children learn to interact with other people, it's critical to our children's well-being that parents learn how to develop healthy relationships first with others and especially with their children, unquote. I agree wholeheartedly, except that this can only happen in a wholesome way if we have developed a relationship with Almighty God first. Amen? That's where it starts. At Awana Club Ministries, we teach a relational faith, not religion. Our textbook is the Bible. Our teacher is the Holy Spirit. In order to understand the importance of relationships, we must focus on the origin of relationships. You see, God desires that His children have a wholesome relationship with Him. In fact, if we go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, we recognize that when God created Adam, He left out his helpmeet. That Adam would understand how important relationships were. The Lord made all kinds of trees to grow in the garden. Trees that were pleasing to the eyes and good for food and animals. And it was a place of unparalleled beauty, aroma, and tranquility. However, in the midst of paradise, God says to Adam, and I quote, "It is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a help meet for him." The first relationship that Adam had was a relationship with God. Amen? That must come first if we're going to have healthy relationships with other people. Once Adam understood there wasn't one like his kind, God created his better half, as we would say, his wife. Knowing God in a personal way helps us to understand true love. Yes, there are people in the world who are not Christians and they're not church people and they do love their families and friends, but they can never come to understand agape love that the Bible speaks of. The right kind of love requires God. The right kind of love required in human relationship comes from God. He is the source of understanding relationships. You cannot really, truly love your spouse, your children, your neighbor, your associates at school or work unless God's love flows through you first. Brother Dave and even the children today made acclamation to that truth. One must come to understand how much God loves them. Understand that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Without a relationship with God, all our human relationships are impaired to some degree. Now I want you to keep your finger there, but quickly, and I have to move quickly because I promised you 12 minutes or so. 1 John 4, back of the Bible. I want to back up what I said. I don't want to just say it and have you think, well, that sounded good, but where did it come from? It comes from the Bible. Verse 7 of 1 John 4 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And the word there for love is epagos or agapos, meaning to love. It's a verb there. And then the noun is agape. For love is of God. There's the noun, agape. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. So if you know God, you have a proper relationship with God. God is love. You understand how to love others. Now, verse 9 is very critical. It's already been said a number of times this morning. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Do you know Him? Do you know the Bible teaches that if we know God in a personal way, for as many, the Bible says, as received Him, John, the Gospel of John 1:12, for as many as received Him, gave He them the power to become the children of God. Are you a child of God? That's an important question, because the only way you can understand true love is to understand how God loves you. Love is a word that's used very loosely in the society in which we live today. The love that God has for you and for me is a love that has action behind it. The action is that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Now go back to Psalm 127, and I'll be quick. Unless we have the love of God in our hearts, the way to do that is to accept Him, receive Him, as I just mentioned, as your Savior. That God sent His Son, that's His act of love towards you, to be your Savior, to save you from your sins. Children said it a number of times, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. We're all sinners. And the wages of sin is what? Death. The wonderful thing is the gift of God. And I really hope that if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you haven't entered into a relationship with God, that you would make that decision, because truly that's the only way you're going to understand how to truly love others. Because God loves you with a sacrificial love. The proof is the cross. He sent His Son to die for you. And you notice in Psalm 127, except the Lord, and the word there for Lord is the word Jehovah. And except the Lord build the house. Now, it's not talking about literally building a house with brick and mortar. In fact, the Hebrew word for house there is Bethayima, in the Hebrew meaning home, as pertaining to a family. The best way that you can build your home is to have God as the master of your home. Amen? Remember Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall what? Serve the Lord. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Because if you want to build a good home, if you want to build a happy home, it starts with cultivating a relationship with Almighty God first. Acknowledge you are a sinner. Acknowledge that you sometimes yield to the flesh. You know, we have an old nature even as Christians. We must continue to acknowledge that we fall into sin before a holy God. But our God loves us. He says, anybody that calls upon me shall be saved. Let him know that you thank him and love him for sending Jesus to be your Savior. That he rose again from the dead. You know, 99% of parents will say they love their children. But love is more than a feeling. That's what the world teaches. Teaches love as phileto, friendship. Or eros, which is Greek for erotic love. In fact, unfortunately, that's the love that's kind of propagated in our society. But God's love is sacrificial. So sacrificial, he allowed his son to become a man, die in your place and mine, to take away all of our sin and reconcile us back so we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. God showed that he loved us by his action of sending his son, and he died for our sin. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The word heritage there in Hebrew refers to a possession that's been granted by Jehovah, by God, as a gift from him. So just as your salvation is a gift, so are your children. They are a gift from God. Every child is a gift from God. I don't care what the child is, who the child is. Every child is a gift of God. I'm not saying that circumstances are going to be easy all the time. It conveys the idea, this passage, of a possession to which one has a legal claim. But don't miss this important truth. Our children belong to God. Parents are the divinely appointed stewards of these precious, precious souls. And by the way, our church is blessed to have them. Did not Jesus say, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven? Now, we don't use that word suffer in that way. I'll just change it. And Jesus said, allow the children to come unto me. Well, where can your children learn of Jesus? They should start in your home. If you're properly related with God, it starts in the home. And the church can substantiate it and authenticate it and kind of drive it home in the Sunday school class and in the youth program. But it starts in the home because children are heritage of the Lord. Children are a blessing from God. And we will be held responsible for what we do with our children that God has placed in our care. We need to protect them. We need to love them. And we cannot love them properly unless we have a relationship with God who loves us. See, we are children to God. Folks, God wants to have a relationship with you. Do you have one? Children are truly a blessing from God, not a burden. They're not an inconvenience. However, in our culture today, some look upon having a child as a burden or inconvenience. Now, I do want to note what the Bible says in verse 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. The word happy is the word blessed. Blessed. That's why we can say that children are a blessing from the Lord. Now that's not to say there aren't going to be times of trials. That's not to say that there aren't going to be chaotic days. That goes kind of without saying, doesn't it? It's an adventure. There's good days and bad days, but children are still a blessing from God. Heard the story about a mom. She had 5 children. And her husband are doing a wonderful job rearing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She went to visit the neighbor, and when she came home, she saw the garage door open and her five children in a circle in the middle of the garage. And as she got closer, she noticed that they were circled around five little baby skunks that had nested in their garage. And as she got closer, she saw what was going on, and she said to the children, "Run! Run!" as loud as she could. And each one picked up a skunk and ran. That's like life, isn't it? Sometimes we get skunked, but we love our children. Does God toss us out when we sin? Does he say, "I want nothing to do with you anymore"? No, agape love is sacrificial. God loves you unconditionally. I think Janie mentioned that a number of times, that God's love is unconditional. Parents, if you are grounded in the Scriptures, then you can be equipped to rear your children. First, you can affirm your children by telling them that they are a unique creation of God. Janie made mention of that, Psalm 139. Second, you can teach your sons and your daughters that sin, the great equalizer, is in every individual, and that everyone needs to be saved. The wages of sin is death, but thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You all know what a gift is, right? Then why is it that the world teaches religion that you have to earn it, that you have to be super good at it, maybe when you die you'll be good enough to get it? The Bible teaches the complete opposite. It's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. All the good works are awarded to our account afterward. I illustrated that to the children Friday night, as I did my little illustration with the magnet, that as we go through life, only the good things that we do with the right motive for the love of God stick as rewards. I'm going to finish. Parents who impart these perspectives are well on their way to fulfilling what the Apostle Paul's instructions were, where he stated in Ephesians, "Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Children with this upbringing are more likely to grow up feeling special. We let them know that even when they mess up, sure, there's consequences, but we love them unconditionally, just as God loves you. And I close, when children become adults, they will give out what they have taken in to their being, into their mental capacity, into their soul in those formative and impressionable years. Let's make sure it's pure, it's wholesome, and it's uplifting. Remember that what we leave in our children intrinsically is more important than what we leave them. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I just pray that everyone here this morning knows You in a personal way, that they have a relationship with You, brokered by Your Son, our Lord Jesus, who brokered it on the cross when all sins were paid for. May we accept that gift today if we never have. May we acknowledge Your love and Your sacrifice and giving unconditionally Your Son to pay the penalty of our sin. And thank You that He rose from the dead to justify us and reconcile us in Your sight, that we can forever have a relationship with You. Help us, Heavenly Father, to have good relationships, first with our spouse who You gave us and our children as we depend upon You. Help us also to have good relationships with folks in our lives. We ask this that we might glorify You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to take our songbook and close with 342. Just one stanza and we'll be dismissed. And I thank you for your patience. 342.